Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
So glad you're back with us.
Yes. Welcome back. We are back.
Yeah.
And we are ready to roll. How are you doing, Lina?
Good. Now that I'm inside the house.
Yeah. It's a no for me, dog.
Yeah.
I don't think I've complained about the heat enough, but here I am. I'm ready to complain.
Well, we did say that we were going to talk about it every episode until it cools off.
And we didn't. I don't think we did.
Probably 90% of the time.
Okay. Well, y'all can let us know if we complained enough.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Halloween t-shirt today because that's where I'm at, you know, in my spirit, in my heart.
I did bring a little sweatshirt with me.
Okay. Just to kind of...
like to get cozy, you know?
And also like just put it out into the universe. Like,
right. I'm wearing it.
I've got my sweatshirt.
Right. I'm not wearing it. It's right next to me.
Yeah.
I'm in a tank top. So, you know, there's that.
It is.
We're waiting.
I mean, the back of my leg skin has been ripped off multiple times from getting stuck on my car seat and other seats, you know.
Right.
Whatever seats.
Right.
My bum encounters, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm ready. I'm ready for the burrs. Let's go.
Almost here.
Yeah. What's new with you? How's school going in your household?
Well, today is the first day that Chase has come home with homework.
Oh.
And so I was like, I can't help you right now. So see what you can get done while I'm gone. And when I get back, we'll see. So it's world geography, which I think will be okay because I like that.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
I was like, ooh, I like that.
I'm not good at geometry.
No. That would have to be Chris.
I love doing that joke. It's stupid, but I love it. Because when I was in school, I was like, which one is it? Geometry or geography?
You could never get it right.
I hated school. And my poor Hazel, she is me all over.
Oh, no.
Reincarnate. Yeah, she hates it. She hates it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's bored, I think. I think she's bored. She's like, yes, I know. Yes, 4 + 4, 8. Got it.
Yeah, because she's already...
Let's move on. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think she just wants to skip to learn, like, just let me learn the next thing.
Yeah, and see, that's where Chase was doing his work that he was doing before he went back to public school, and... he just didn't care about it because it was like just so monotonous to him.
Yeah.
And anyway, now it's a little different. It's high school and now we're getting into big stuff. And so I said, are you excited that you're like actually going to get to learn more things? And he was like, not excited, but
I wouldn't put it that way.
Anyway, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Hazel's gotten in trouble already, and we're like a week and a half in. So we explained to her what boarding school was.
Uh-oh, already. Just, yeah. Already having that talk.
I said, okay, here's the other option. You go far away.
You have a choice here.
Anyway, she didn't want to do that because they're not allowed cuddly toys. That's what we told her anyways.
Okay.
I don't know if they allow cuddly toys in boarding school, but she thinks they don't. So she's not into it. But anyway, enough about that. I have a case today that I've been working on for months now. It's just been something that I've had, that I've been working on in the background, trying to get as much information as I can. And I'm just going to say it. it's a child case, unfortunately. And having young children myself, I know these are always really hard to listen to, but this little girl's story needs to be heard by more than the few who still remember her. As far as I know, it's never been featured on any podcasts. I had trouble finding information about her and her story and her case. And I'll bet you've never heard of Heather White.
I have not.
Yeah, and I hadn't either until I came across her photo in a Facebook group. So I am a part of all these weird Facebook groups, like Find My Loved One.
Oh, yeah.
And like, can you edit this picture for me? Like, yeah. Edit my husband out, my ex-husband, you know, like, I really love this picture of me. Edit my ex-husband out. The photos, you're usually pretty funny. But I saw this photo of this little girl and I thought, oh, she just caught my eye. So the mother of this little girl posted her photo in the Facebook group and said, quote, "This is my daughter, Heather. She was 8 years old and murdered in 1988. Can anyone do age enhancement so that I might see what she looks like now or at different ages?" End quote.
Oh, man.
And my heart just broke.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, hearing that she's been murdered, I wanted to know what happened. And I Googled, and the only thing that came up was an old news article. Really, everything that I used for source material were newspaper articles. So I was really sad to see her request, but of course I couldn't help but smile at Heather's photo. And there's just no other way to describe her face other than pure sunshine.
Oh,
I'm just going to pull up her photo for you, Lena.
I've seen pictures of her.
Have
she
you?
She is adorable, and she looks like
any one of us in the 80s, right? Oh, yeah.
She looks like she's full of personality.
I know, she does. I'll post her picture, of course, and I'll also link that Facebook post, and you can go through and see all the comments that people did. It's so heartwarming. Like, if you want to be reminded that there are good people out there and there's good in this world, just go into that comment section, because it's like all these strangers that took time out of their day to make this photo for someone they don't know. Several people did pictures of her, like when she was a teenager, you know, in her 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Wow.
And
it's so cool that people can do that.
It is. I know, it really was. So once I learned what happened to her, I was chasing every news article I could find, basically. I submitted a FOIA request, spoke to a detective with the Maine State Police Major Crimes Unit, and now I'm here bringing it all to you guys.
Okay.
I did reach out to some of Heather's family, but I didn't hear back. So I'll start with a little bit that I do know about Heather. Heather Marie White was born in Bangor, Maine on September 24th, 1980, to Mark and Kathy White. She had a brother, Mark Jr. The newspapers described her as very caring and a loving little girl. She was said to be mild-mannered and quiet, but when she smiled, you just could not help but want to be near her. Most of the locals who remember her remember what happened all of those years ago, and they still shake their heads in disbelief that things turned out the way they did in her case. So, let's talk about what happened. The weather was quite beautiful on October 1st, 1988, in West Enfield, Maine. It was a Saturday. The school-aged children were kicking off their weekend by playing outside in the sunshine. That morning, 8-year-old Heather White joined the neighborhood kids romping the backwood trails behind the local school, Eleanor Curtis School, something they did often when school was not in session. There was like an old train track back there.
Oh.
And so they played in the woods. They played just kind of like all around
there.
But that afternoon, when all the other children returned home, Heather didn't. Heather's dad, Mark Sr., went back up to the school where he'd last seen her, and she was nowhere to be found. Just hours earlier, Mark had walked with Heather and some neighborhood kids up to the school because a group of them were going to play. Now, maybe a part of him felt comforted by the fact that there were some older kids there that maybe his daughter would be safe, but now he can't find Heather and he's panicking. After checking with a few people that were nearby, Mark reported her missing to the police about 1 p.m. Now, it goes without saying that in any missing person's case, time is of the essence, regardless of the 24-hour rule or 72-hour rule or whatever it is. Every moment they're gone matters. But when a child is missing, everyone is considering every second that is slipping through their fingertips without an answer. So when everyone learned that Heather was missing, it might as well have been their own child that was missing. Every officer in town was on foot, tracing her movements from home to the school to where, they didn't know. Hmm. Panic was setting in with each overturned twig, each bush that was searched behind. Police and searchers were spreading out, hollering for Heather, praying that she'd just gotten lost or, worst case scenario, hurt and couldn't get home. But they didn't find her. Not yet. It wasn't until a helicopter search passed over the Penobscot River at 4:30 p.m. that afternoon when they spotted Heather's body.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
And just trigger warning here. Heather's autopsy revealed that she had died by drowning, but it was no accident. There was evidence that she'd been strangled and sexually assaulted.
Oh, my Lord.
Heather had just turned 8 years old. She was a third grader, and some monster decided to end her story right there that very day. The loss was unbearable for Heather's family, and the community mourned right along with them, while at the same time side-eyeing everyone else, wondering who could have done this.
Right. I mean, what did the kids see with all the kids that were there at the exactly. playground and all that? So I'm sure you'll get into that. But
yeah,
I mean, wow.
Heather's funeral was held at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, and she was laid to rest at St. Matthew's Catholic Cemetery in West Enfield, Maine. There is actually a YouTube video that I found, which I'll link in the show notes, where this guy goes around and he does genealogical research, and so he'll feature a grave headstone. There's the word.
I got it.
He'll feature a headstone and just kind of mention briefly about what happened to the person.
I love watching those videos.
I know. And I love watching the videos of people cleaning the headstones.
Yeah.
But I reached out to him and I asked him if he knew any more information, and he didn't. He really didn't. He found just as much as you could.
Yeah,
basically. So he said, you know, let me know what you find out. But it's actually a really beautiful place where she's laid to rest. So I'll link that in the show notes. Now, a command post was set up to interview neighbors, the children that Heather was with that day, and the parents of the children who were with Heather when she disappeared. Heather's dad was particularly interested in talking to the last person he saw with Heather.
Yeah.
And that was 16-year-old Trey Emery. He was a neighborhood kid who lived a couple houses down from the Whites. Trey was standing at the end of his driveway when Mark and Heather walked by that morning. And he told them that someone was asking for Heather up at the school.
Okay.
Heather, you know, looked at her dad with these big, beautiful eyes and was like, can I go play, please? Mark said, okay. And so he walked Heather up to the school, making sure she got there safely. Trey was walking with them. And I'm sure Mark didn't love dropping his daughter off to play with a bunch of kids behind a school, but it was a small town in the 80s. And mm-hmm. knowing that there's a bunch of kids, some older kids, you know, safety in numbers right. was probably a comforting thought. And I feel like parents back then didn't really worry as much as we do these days.
My brother and I were just talking about, you know, the same conversations that other people our age have. Like you just went and ran the streets then came back home when the light streets came on.
I know.
Or the light streets.
The light streets.
When the street lights
the
come
light
on.
The streets. Wouldn't that be cool? but as I understand it from the reports, Mark kind of hung back when he got to the school and he watched as Heather and Trey walked forward and around the back of the school. He could see the other kids playing. So I think he just was kind of dropping her off there and letting her go. Mark saw his daughter round the corner and disappear from view behind the school building where the other kids were playing near an old railroad track, like I said earlier.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now, when Heather didn't come home from playing at the school, Mark did go speak to Trey Emery, and he got pretty much a benign response. Trey said he and Heather went back behind the school after he left, and they sort of went their separate ways. He said he could see Heather playing because they were, you know, in close proximity, but he didn't really remember seeing her later on when he left. But it bothered Mark that Trey would essentially invite his daughter, because it felt like an invite, you know, invite her up there to go play and then take no notice of her when it was time to leave.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
it just bothered him. It wasn't like he assumed responsibility or whatever. It's just like, okay, so you just didn't pay attention. Okay. It wasn't just that. It was more like he had no information to help.
Right.
Like he was just the last person to see her and he had nothing. Very early on in the investigation, Trey stood out to police. It wasn't just that he was the last one her father saw with her. There were other witness accounts as well that were kind of concerning. When detectives questioned the children that were there that day, two boys witnessed Trey and Heather walking on a trail behind the school away from the group. So they're walking away.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. At the end of that pathway, her underwear was found, along with some of her hair they presumed to be hers. Back in the 80s, I don't know if that was verified, and a snack that she had taken with her.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, the source material isn't clear as to whether those items were found before or after her body was found, but the most important part of this account is that witnesses put Trey with Heather in that area.
Right. It gets even more suspicious.
Right. And the more they learned about Trey's behavior in the hours and days after Heather's murder, the more they believed they'd found their man. A woman named Kim Oliver reported to police that a little after 1 p.m., when Mark White was frantically searching for his daughter, she got a call from Trey Emery. Now, it was quoted in the newspaper. I don't know if it was a direct quote, but I'll tell you what it said. With the way the world is today, she could have been raped and murdered.
Okay. So
now, on its face, it seems really strange that a 16-year-old boy,
he went there.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even, I was thinking of your boys, and I was thinking, that's not something that they would immediately just think to say.
Right.
Especially to someone while a child is missing.
Right.
They would be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
I could imagine that they would not be observant because they tend to be in their own little world with their friends a lot of the time. But yeah, to say something like that, that's just way off the wall.
The other thing is, we don't know the details of what else was said in the phone call. I don't know what context it was. I don't know if Kim said something like, I just hope nothing bad's happened to her. And then he says this thing.
Okay.
I don't really know. But this was verified through phone records. The call came in at 1:19 p.m., 3 hours before Heather's body was found. It's just kind of odd that he would make a comment like that when she was sexually assaulted and murdered.
Hmm.
So Detective Jeffrey Harmon formally interviewed Trey, and this time he had a bit of a different story than what he told Heather's dad, Mark. And this seems to be a theme with Trey. Each time he talks to someone different, it's, you know, a little bit different. A new detail is introduced. So Trey told police that when he and Heather got to the school, they were looking for another girl, but couldn't find her. Maybe this is the supposed child that requested Heather's presence that day. Like he said, you know, someone's looking for you. So when he gets to the school, he's like, yeah, let's go look for this girl that's looking for you. This imaginary girl. She was never named. No one else could corroborate
anyone asking for Heather specifically. I was the one waiting for her.
Exactly. But back to this imaginary girl for a second. Trey said that he walked away to look somewhere else for this little girl. And when he looked back in Heather's direction, she was speaking to a little boy who was about 10 years old. Trey told police that he didn't recognize this boy, but he was wearing a white t-shirt and had dirty blonde hair. And he didn't look big enough to throw Heather in the water.
Okay.
Right.
So at this point, did anybody know that she was in the water?
So I think he was questioned in the days after she was found, which she was found in the water. And so
he would have known by then.
I'm assuming because that was information that people knew at that time.
Okay.
But he says then he didn't see her after that, after she's talking to this little boy. Trey said he left Heather playing there and he got on his bike and rode home. Trey said that when he got home, he watched TV, he ate a snack, and then he went to the video store to rent a film. Kids these days would never know the rush that it was to go up to the video store and rent a film. But he says he ran into Heather's dad while he was up there because he was looking for her. And Trey said that Mark screamed at him and demanded to know where his daughter was, but he denied knowing where Heather was at this time. And Mark said that if anything happened to his daughter, he was going to hold him responsible.
Oh,
this is coming from Trey. So he very well could have said that, because you'll see that he was a stark advocate for his daughter. Now, of course, police didn't believe any of this. They had spoken to enough people. But in the interest of doing due diligence, they did follow up on this 10-year-old boy lead, which led nowhere. And to this day, no one has ever come forward claiming to have been this 10-year-old boy.
Okay, small town. So
exactly.
Let's get all the 10-year-old little boys from the town.
Right.
Wrangle them up and let's question them.
Exactly. No one's come forward saying, oh, I was the boy talking to her.
Right.
And it wasn't me. I didn't do anything. And I totally understand why someone, you know, wouldn't want to come forward if they were that 10-year-old boy, especially if their parents knew they were that 10-year-old boy and advised them not to say anything. I think there are plenty of reasons why someone would come forward. But if you want to come forward now and say it wasn't you.
Right.
That would help, I think, ease a lot of hurt and pain, perhaps. Kathy, Heather's mother, reported that Trey told her that he was so sorry and that he was the last person to see her, and he felt personally responsible for whatever happened to her. She remembered him saying this before Heather was found. At the time, all these comments he had been making felt strange and weird, but now that the police were looking squarely at him, it all began to feel a bit more sinister. A few weeks after the murder, Trey was given a lie detector test, you know, so of the time. Well, he failed, but he didn't just fail. He kind of ran his mouth during the polygraph procedure.
Okay.
I don't know what exactly he was saying, but apparently he made some pretty damning comments that further made him look guilty. So I can see me doing this, like sitting in a polygraph going, yes, or no, but I, and like trying to explain.
Justify. Or,
yes.
Yeah.
I can see that happening, although I will never do a polygraph. And you shouldn't either. But it doesn't matter what he was saying, because the public is getting wind of all this. Oh. They're getting wind. They're questioning Trey. Oh, they gave him a polygraph. And they're making their own minds up, you know, based on the things that he was saying, the type of kid he was, which I did not see any reports of. I'm just saying that's people's perception at mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. Residents organized a town Halloween party that Halloween, because Halloween was just weeks away. They didn't want their kids walking the streets.
Absolutely not.
Right. Because Trey was not in custody. He was still out there. Or if it wasn't him, whoever else did it was still out there on the street. And I thought that was a great idea that they said, okay, let's just do a little party here and we can see all of our kids. We don't have to walk around or yeah. let them loose. It's fine when you have littles and you can accompany them. But I imagine there's an age where they're like, yeah, I don't want you to come with me.
Yeah.
And I cannot do that.
You just want to go with your friends.
I know. Yeah. I'll be hiding in the bushes. Anyway, no one would have to worry for too long, because 4 months after Heather's murder, Trey was arrested on February 13th.
Oh.
Everyone kind of knew it was coming, but when he was actually arrested, I think there was a feeling that they'd lost yet another neighborhood child. I mean, Trey was just 16, mm-hmm. a child himself. He was charged with 2 counts of murder, intentional murder and depraved indifference murder. Now, these charges stemmed from 2 separate theories that the state had as to why and how the crimes occurred. It would be up to the jury to decide which count was the most appropriate. I can't think of another case that we've covered where the state put it this way before.
Right.
The way it was reported, it sounded like they were both first-degree murder charges. I could be wrong. Maybe depraved indifference murder is a lesser charge, like second degree. But the way it was reported, it was like, here's these 2 counts, and we want the jury to decide which one. That just...
Right.
And of course, I cannot verify that. After his arraignment, Trey was released on a $1 personal recognizance bail.
Huh?
Whew.
Huh?
Yes. He was granted bail and ordered to stay at home with his parents in their house where he lived. But the community was really upset by this.
Well, yes.
As Trey and his mother, Susan, left the courthouse when he was released, his mom insisted that her son was innocent and she hoped the police found who really killed the little girl. So the people who are upset already are seeing Trey out and about. They're seeing him at the grocery store. They're seeing him at the video store. And they're just, number one, scared. And they're pissed off because he's not with his parents. He's just out gallivanting by himself.
He had no rules to stay inside.
No. And they thought that was wrong. They were like, he's been arrested for murder and he's been let out on bail. He should have to either stay at home or like be accompanied by his parents in public.
Absolutely.
People were so pissed off. Now, the court said, you know, well, his parents aren't required to be with him at all times. And long as he's not leaving Penobscot or Piscataquis.
Okay.
Counties. He was really doing nothing wrong. So he had to check in with a probation officer every Monday, but this stipulation did nothing to ease the discomfort of the public. They're like, yeah, so what? Once a week? Okay.
To understand what he's being charged with.
Right.
And to just be like, no, he can do whatever the heck he wants.
I can't imagine the fear just keeping your kids so close during that couple of years, because it did take a couple of years for him to get to trial.
Wow.
So along with everyone else, Heather's father, Mark, was furious.
Yeah.
Just the weekend before, a man was arrested in the same county and denied bail for shooting at 2 police officers. I'm not saying that shooting in the direction of police is nothing, but they were not injured. And you've got someone accused of murdering a child, mm-hmm. and he's allowed to be just let home?
Absolutely no sense.
Mark wanted to know why his daughter's murder didn't matter. There was a public uproar that he was actually walking out the door into freedom right before their eyes. They were so outraged that there was a 3.5-hour protest of more than 50 people outside the Penobscot County Superior Courthouse.
Oh.
And this is where it gets interesting. Two women who refused to clear out of the streets, one of which was Heather's aunt, were arrested for obstructing a public roadway. Once things had gotten out of hand, Heather's mom said, you know, look, I want justice, but I don't want it like this. She didn't want, you know, all the chaos. She asked everybody who was picketing to pack up and leave. She didn't want anyone else getting hurt or arrested. And so listen to this. The two protesters who were arrested were released on $17 bail, which just proved their whole point.
Absolutely.
That the $1 bail for Trey Emery was outlandish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Absolutely.
You can get outlandish. A higher bail just for obstructing.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
So all of this drove anger even more through the community. They're like, see, you're proving our point. Like, are you kidding me? So as with any trial, there are always things to duke out, you know, in pretrial phase.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecution wanted the jury to hear about Trey's failed polygraph test, but Trey's court-appointed attorney, Richard Broderick, said, you can't use a polygraph as evidence mm-hmm. of anything. We know that doesn't determine guilt or innocence, you know, and they knew that back then, really, in the 80s and 90s as well. Additionally, and maybe even more importantly, there was a question as to whether or not Trey understood his rights. And because his family couldn't afford an attorney, he was only able to get that court-appointed attorney after he was arrested.
Okay.
So, meaning like he didn't have counsel during the questioning, the polygraph, all the stuff he was going on about during his polygraph. So the defense got their way on this one, and I happen to agree. None of the polygraph results were admissible. None of the stuff he said during the polygraph was admissible.
Interesting.
The prosecution was bringing the big guns, though. They moved to try Trey as an adult.
Well, I mean, he's close enough to one.
Yes. So,
but not yet.
Being that I can't access the court documents on this one. The Bangor Daily News did publish an article in June of 1989 saying that Trey's attorney saying that the state hadn't produced anything to show that Trey should be tried as an adult. He didn't believe this was a calculated crime. There was no evidence that Trey was prone to violence. Thus, trying him as an adult would severely affect his future if he were found guilty. And I think that's the point that they were going with. Just
kinda, it sounds, you know, calculated just, to me, but okay. Right.
In the end, Judge Susan Calkins ruled that Trey Emery would be tried as an adult.
Oh.
And I find this interesting. I find it interesting that this judge let him out on $1 bail, let him go and do as he pleased for being accused of the murder of a child, yet she wants to try him as an adult. That maybe is incongruent.
But maybe it's her way of making up for the uproar.
Maybe. Now, because of the public sentiment, the trial was moved from Penobscot County to Aroostook County. Why do y'all have to have complicated counties? I just don't know. Anyway. It was no secret that everyone in Penobscot County wanted Trey's head on a stick. Mm-hmm. they would be hard pressed to find an impartial jury there. So, side note, if you're keeping up with the Alec Murdoch trial, retrial saga, he was recently granted a change of venue, which was no surprise because we all saw that coming. But what did surprise me was the defense suggesting that the trial should be held in Charleston County.
That was a whole, like...
It was hilarious trying to get... Creighton Waters is like, that is like the most inconvenient courthouse mm-hmm. to get to. It floods every spring. Like the streets, you can Google Charleston downtown flood and you will see people literally kayaking on the streets.
Oh.
And it's the most expensive county in the state. But it was really funny watching those rich attorneys on the defense side say, well, you know, you just go across the bridge in Mount Pleasant and you can get a nice hotel just right across. Yeah. Last time I looked for a nice hotel in Mount Pleasant where I used to live and my children were born there, it was like $400 a night. So you're right.
And then he's like, well, the prices at this McDonald's is the same as any other McDonald's. You can go eat at McDonald's.
It's ridiculous.
The
tell me you're rich without telling me you're rich.
The fiasco on that stand whenever he was questioning them about Charleston, that I was like, this is just...
I was laughing. I was like, are you serious? Like you're saying with this with a straight face, the most expensive place. And their point was, is that, you know, everyone has to be boarded up.
Yeah.
In these places, you know, rent a house.
It's
or
not going to be convenient.
It's going to be expensive for the state and it's going to be expensive for the expert witnesses on the defense side, which we don't care. You go ahead and spend that imaginary money. Anyhow, let's go back to Trey's murder trial.
Change of venue.
Well, Trey took the stand in his own defense at his trial, and he told the jury about this 10 or 11-year-old boy that he saw Heather with before she was killed. You know, the one with the white t-shirt, the dirty blonde hair that nobody else could place. According to a Web Sleuths forum, a post from someone claiming to be Heather's cousin said that Trey said he saw boy A, quote unquote, the letter A, with Heather. As in, this must be an initial of someone's name.
Okay.
She went on to say that it was common knowledge in town that Trey had committed other crimes against children, but it was always swept under the rug. Now, I don't typically, you know, report on Web Sleuths articles or Reddit, but when you're dealing with a small town, people who remember this, remember that, and I can't get any other information. I just wanted to include it. It's not something I can verify, but that's just what's being said. Because I really wanted to include as much details as I could. I even reached out to some people that I saw commenting on a Facebook post, but I didn't hear back from them. So I was really grasping at straws. Anywho, Trey testified that he didn't even know Heather prior to that day, which was a lie because he was her neighbor. He was her neighbor. And also that's garbage because he was standing in his driveway waiting for her to pass, specifically her.
Right. And if you didn't know her, why would her dad feel comfortable enough to leave her with
you? Her dad would never. I mean, he wouldn't be like, oh, hello, strange boy that I've never even spoken to.
Here, take care of my daughter. Okay, bye.
It didn't make sense that he was not at least acquainted with her.
Right.
You know, so the jury heard all about the comments that Trey made to people in those few hours where they were searching for Heather before her body was found. All the circumstantial evidence against Trey was presented along with the physical evidence that really didn't point to Trey. All of this was considered by the jury. Ultimately, the 9 women and 3 men deliberated for 4.5 hours and acquitted him on both counts.
Because there was enough reasonable doubt.
Yeah. Now, Heather's family said they believed from day one that he killed their girl. And from all the Facebook posts I've seen, they still do, and everyone else still does. Many who attended the trial felt that the state didn't do an adequate job in presenting the case. The medical examiner did not analyze fingernail clippings. No DNA was retained because there were not adequate sample sizes. The jury was not taken to the scene to see for themselves, like, where Mark dropped her off, what he could see, what other kids saw, and from what perspective they saw it. Like, oh, we saw Trey and Heather on that path mm-hmm. over there walking away.
And that would have been very suspicious.
Right. Like, what did that path look like? Was that path very secluded? Could people see them going back behind trees? Like, they didn't know because they didn't get to see the location. The direct evidence linking Trey, or anyone else for that matter, just wasn't there. I mean, they didn't have the DNA, no fingerprints. They didn't analyze the fingernail clippings.
So all circumstantial.
Right. All circumstantial. There was a footprint and a drag mark near the scene, but none of it could have been linked to Trey. Probably nobody for that matter. It just was a footprint in the soggy ground, you know, by the pond that she was found in, or the river she was found in. The assistant attorney general, Jeffrey Helm, I don't know, Helm, he wouldn't have done anything differently, he says. He said, you know, we did everything we could.
He's happy with himself.
I thought, you know,
he pat himself.
I can't stand
the
when they say stuff like that. Like,
I think you have to just say something like that just to.
I mean, you just feel like you've done a spot on job and you just can lay your head on the pillow at night. You can't say anything like, I sure wish there was more evidence to collect. I wish there was, you know, we had found her sooner, or, you know, like what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know words right now, but there was nothing more that could be done according to him. So he was satisfied with the verdict.
He did his job. Now let's go home.
Yeah, he did his job. Good night. You know, I always wonder, they don't get paid anymore for a conviction. What do they care? If he gets left off, do they get their pay docked? No.
Mm.
So anyway, after his acquittal, Trey's father, guys, Trey's father submitted a bill to the school board for Trey's private tutoring, because during that almost 2-year period that Trey was home, out on bail,
uh-huh.
he was not allowed at the school because the school board was like, the kids are scared of you. We don't want your son here. He's going to have to not come to school. So they got him private tutoring. And after the trial, his dad takes this bill to the school board and says, well, you're going to have to pay this now because he didn't do it and you wouldn't let him at school. And now we have all that. We got to pay this private tutoring bill.
Okay. I mean, hey, he was acquitted, so
The board was like, no, we will not be doing that, but thank you for asking.
Right.
Then they took the bill down the hall and they used it as toilet paper.
Sure.
So what now? I'm sure everybody in the community was thinking this. Trey gets to go home again. And now what? Are we looking for someone else? Is the investigation still open and ongoing? Well, that was my question too when I got to this part of my research.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier that I submitted a FOIA request. It was denied. The Attorney General's office sent me a letter, and I'll read you a bit of it. It said, quote, please be advised that our office cannot release reports for any of the information in the matter of State of Maine versus Trey Emery. All cases prior to 1995 are considered confidential by statute, and therefore we cannot release any material from those cases, end quote. And they also sent me the precedent case that decided that.
Oh.
So I could read it. Thank you. The email correspondence containing the letter also stated that, quote, rarely are our records about an active prosecution released as public records. My eyes widened because I was like, does active? That mean this is active? But when I visit the website for unsolved violent crimes in the state of Maine, as of this recording, Heather's case is not listed among those cases. The list dates back to the 1960s, so it should be there if it's open, right? So I spoke with Detective Corporal Andrew Pearson with the Maine State Police Major Crimes Unit and explained my quandary. What's going on? Now, he verified to me that Heather's case was not active and was considered a closed case. He was really nice. And I said, how could this be? You know, he sat there and talked with me for a minute, and he felt the same. Like, we've got this 8-year-old girl. Someone was acquitted for her murder and her case is just closed.
Yeah. Like, wash your hands.
Yeah. And he sympathized. Detective Corporal Pearson was not on that case originally, but he sympathized with the justice system. He sympathized with, like, misgivings, I guess, of our justice system.
Like, maybe if he was around back then, he would have made sure that justice was served. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess the police feel like they got it right all along, and there is no one else to go after. Did the jury get it wrong? I can't help but wonder if Trey had been tried as a juvenile instead of as an adult, that maybe he would have been convicted of something.
That's a good point.
Maybe, you know, the punishment would have been much less harsh. Maybe he would have been held accountable in some way. But by going after him as an adult, that really set a bold tone. So you better have the evidence to back it up.
Sure.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, interestingly, while I was researching this case, I came across a different case where a 16-year-old killed his grandma in 2017 in Maine. He was set to be tried as an adult as well. So he was 16 by the time the trial rolls around, or he's about to be tried. He's 18 now, just like Trey. Mm. But he opted to plead guilty. But they were going to try him as an adult, too. So maybe Maine is just one of those states that will go for the harsher punishment. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, the story's over, and I know it feels a bit hopeless. But if you know anything about the murder of Heather White, if you were one of the kids playing that day, if you were white t-shirt boy, if you saw anything, I would still encourage you to come forward, because it could matter in some way, shape, or form. The Maine State Police Unsolved Unit's number is 207-624-7076. I'll also link that in the show notes. You know, Trey can't be retried for Heather's murder.
Right.
But if he is in fact responsible for this, maybe he's the type of guy to have committed other crimes.
Mm.
I wish I could tell you more about Heather. I reached out to her mom hoping that, you know, I could learn more about her girl and say what her favorite food was or her favorite color. But I didn't get a response. And that's always okay with me, because I'd rather share the little that I can find on my own than
make things up.
or open old wounds.
Okay, yeah.
And bother the victims' families. Heather's father, Mark White, the man who loved his little girl more than anything, took his own life in February of 1994.
No.
He was never the same after his daughter's murder.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Yeah. And when the only suspect was set free to live the rest of his life, Mark couldn't bear witness to any more injustice. He couldn't live without his daughter, and he couldn't live with knowing her killer would never be held responsible for his sins. Now, I hope the rest of her family found some sense of peace that they could live with, because I can't imagine the pain that they've been through with all of this, not just losing her, but going through a trial and not getting justice for their daughter.
When it seems like it's so clearly in your face.
Right. There's nothing else pointing to anyone else. And, you know, when we think about a small town and we think about, you know, where the locals go, we think about a local having committed the crime, because it wouldn't be someplace that maybe a stranger would just happen upon.
Well, and so that's where I have a question. Like, yes, it was the school, but was it a high trafficked area? Was it woodsy? You said there's a train track.
There was an
track.
Old railroad track. And
was it functioning?
I don't know.
Because
I could
was
only
there,
speculate that when they say old railroad track, it makes me think that it was not using being used.
I mean, and so were there drifters coming to and fro?
Yeah, that's a good question. My thought when I think of could it have been a stranger is an adult would have really stood out.
Yeah.
To those children.
Yeah.
And none of the children mentioned a stranger or an adult. They all said they saw Trey with Heather. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very sad. His name is in the public record, so I did feel free to use his name. All the evidence that was presented, I can't say that, you know, that the jury found him not guilty. He doesn't have a criminal record as far as I could find. He's pretty much a ghost. So he's living under the radar.
Okay.
So. Kind of like Thelma from last week.
Yeah.
We couldn't find her.
Yeah.
Some people just don't want to.
It's frustrating when you just want to know more about these people. But
I found some. So I pulled a truth finder on him.
Okay.
I found some of his relatives. I didn't reach out to them, but I did look at their Facebook pages.
Okay.
Trying to find them being friends with him.
Right.
And I couldn't find a profile for him at all.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, it is. So he still lives in the area. Still lives there.
Okay.
I mean.
Well, I'm glad you dug into this case, because I have seen her picture and I thought the same thing that you did, is like she just looks like she had a lot of personality, looked so sweet and just happy. And so thank you for telling her story, little angel.
I know. I've been holding on to this one because child cases are so hard.
They are.
We all have trouble listening to them, but I could not tell her story. It just didn't seem fair that all of this had happened and she just be remembered by the few people that knew her. So.
Well, I love that. It was her mom that posted the picture for the age progression. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I'm glad she posted that and that we get to see her sweet little face.
I know. So rest in peace, little angel.
Yes.
Heather.
Oh, well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it. We'll see you next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying the show, please rate and review wherever you listen, and consider joining our Patreon for bonus episodes every month.
Follow us on Instagram and Facebook for case photos and to stay up to date with the latest C-on-C news. If you have a case suggestion or just want to tell us how cool we are, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
Yeah. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.